1 John 3, verses 1 to 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. For the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all those who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Grace.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, send your spirit upon us, that as your scripture has been read and our word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what it is you have to say to us this day. Amen. This last week, I was able to go to San Diego for a couple of days to visit my BFF, Reverend Trudy Robinson. We met when my Jacob, we had a little Jacob today, my baby Jacob was just an infant, so we are closing in on 23 years of friendship. When she first moved to San Diego in January of 2020, from here in Colorado, I was not very happy, because she's my best friend. But visiting her has become like a sanctuary event, right? Like her home's like a sanctuary. And when she first moved there and she was describing her house before I had visited, she described to me my room. And that's what she calls it, Sandy's room. And every time I visit, she has new pictures framed and set out on the desk and on the nightstand. So I remember how much she loves me, she says. Now, don't ask me how I felt when I learned that she does that for her daughters, too. So she changes out my pictures for their pictures when they come to visit. Whatever. It's not just good hospitality, but she makes me feel completely at home in her house and in her life. Today, our scripture talks about that same kind of complete belonging. But in this case, in 1 John, we belong to God. The author of this book says that because God loves us so much, we are God's children. We are completely at home in God's house and in God's heart. And, not quite but and, we need to realize that this being children of God, this purification of hope, is something that is complete, but also not yet. I don't know if you heard in verse 2 that said this: beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. Janet H. Oak says this: the adverb not yet in Greek directs the reader's gaze to the full benefits and blessings of being a child of God, soon to be realized. In other words, we are children of God, but not fully transformed yet. Then the scripture uses the word purify. It says, all who have this hope in him purify themselves. Again, Jeanette H. Oak says, purify in the present active indicative conveys how Christians consecrate themselves to God again and again through their willful obedience to God's will and intentional imitation of Christ, who is pure. Got all that? It makes total sense, right? I'm just kidding. It can be so easy to get caught or be stumped by the somewhat ambiguous language of theology. What do transformation, revelation, purification, sanctification, salvation really mean? How do we understand those things in our current reality and lives lived every day? Now, we've been talking about some of these things in our confirmation class. Every Sunday afternoon in April, we have about 10 kids participating, 10 youth participating in our confirmation class. We'll be celebrating Confirmation Sunday on May 5th. In class, we've been learning about John Wesley, the father of the Methodist movement. I should have brought my bobblehead. I always have him sitting out in confirmation class. John Wesley, bobblehead. John Wesley loved to promote ideas like holiness and perfection, but those are pretty abstract terms for anyone to understand, but particularly middle schoolers. But John Wesley believed that the key to any of these ideas, purification, salvation, perfection, is grace. And John Wesley would use the metaphor of a house when talking about grace, for which he identified three distinct movements. Do y'all remember the three different kinds of grace? Prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying. Gold star, Andrew Salas. Well done. Prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace. Oh my word, what does any of that mean? But Wesley would use this metaphor of a house. Bishop Kenneth Carter explains Wesley's metaphor this way. Wesley described prevenient grace as the porch on a house. It is where we prepare to enter the house. When we talked about prevenient grace and confirmation, we talked about it being the grace that is there before you understand it. It is there before you, this porch, this prevenient grace. But there's more to a house than a porch, right? We must enter the house, or begin the journey. Justifying grace, then, is the doorway and the process of walking through it. So justifying grace is the realization that grace is there for you and accepting it. Just as the door is open, and the door is open with a welcome sign on it, says Bishop Kenneth Carter. If prevenient grace is the porch of the house, then, and justifying grace is the doorway, sanctifying grace represents the rooms in the expansive dwelling of God's presence with and purposes for humanity. Wesley affirmed that God's grace seeks nothing less than a new creation in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Sanctifying grace, which is the inside of the house, is God's freely given presence and power to restore the fullness of God's image in which we are created. And I might put it this way. Sanctifying grace is that which allows us to begin again and again and again, every moment, every day. So if we understand the idea of salvation or perfection or purification or sanctification, as they are all facets of the same jewel as a house, then it's a house under constant construction and renovation. C.S. Lewis actually put it this way. We think of becoming a disciple after baptism like becoming into the house of our hearts and putting up some new drapes or slapping on a few coats of paint on the same old walls. But in reality, God comes in, knocks down most of the walls, and starts to build something brand new. But it's a process and happens over and over again. And kind of like in the Dylan household, the projects are never done. They are just endless. I want to share with you a story that I may have shared before, but it's been a powerful one that I encountered in a Bible study that I took many, many years ago. It goes like this. Years ago, a woman named Fayette found her way to the church where Janet Wolf ministers. Fayette lives with a mental illness and lupus and without a home. She joined the new member class. The conversation about baptism, this holy moment when we are named by God's grace with such power it won't come undone, as Janet Wolf puts it, especially grabbed Fayette's imagination. Janet tells of how during the class Fayette would ask again and again, "And when I'm baptized, I'm..." And Janet said the class learned to respond, "Beloved, precious child of God, and beautiful to behold. Oh yes," she'd say. And then we go back to our discussion. The day of Fayette's baptism came, and this is how Janet describes it. Fayette went under. So this was a full immersion baptism. No sprinkling like we just did, right? Went under and came up out of the water spluttering and cried, "And now I am..." And we all sang, "Beloved, precious child of God, and beautiful to behold. Oh, yes," she shouted and danced all around the fellowship hall. 2 months later, Janet received a phone call. Fayette had been beaten and raped and was at the county hospital. Janet says, "So I went. I could hear her from a distance, pacing back and forth. And when I got to the door, I heard, 'I am beloved.' She turned, saw me, and said, 'I am beloved, precious child of God.' And then, catching sight of herself in the mirror, hair sticking up, blood and tears streaking her face, dress torn, dirty, and rebuttoned askew, she started again, 'I am beloved, precious child of God.' And she looked in the mirror again and declared, 'And God is still working on me. If you come back tomorrow, I'll be so beautiful, I'll take your breath away.'" My friends, God's grace says that we belong. No matter how many times within the home we need to tear up rooms and rebuild new walls or repaint or reframe pictures or simply take a nap, as children of God, we are not only welcome into God's home and heart, each of us have our very own room that declares we are beloved. And because of the great love that God lavishes on us, we keep striving to be the people that God created us to be. I pray these have been the words of the Lord for us this day. Amen.